You're listening to Careers and Cocktails, Career Talk with a Twist, hosted by expert recruiter Renee Fry. Let's get this party started.
Hey, party people, welcome back to Careers and Cocktails. Today, we are making a big maple farm old fashioned. And Aaron Eggert is joining us from his hobby farm. Okay, what city are you in, Aaron?
Lester Prairie.
Lester Prairie. So yep. 90, how far south of Minneapolis?
West of Minneapolis, about, so if you were to go from Minnetonka, let's just like take the farthest city outside of the Twin Cities. Minnetonka, it's about another 45 minutes west.
Right west. Before so you I'm get to total- Hutchinson. I thought you were down by like that little speedway in Elko. So I was totally in the wrong direction. Okay. West. Yeah. And you've named this cocktail, the Big Maple Farm Old Fashioned, because you call your hobby farm how did the Big Maple Farm get its name?
So Big Maple Farm, we named it that because it has a 200-year-old maple tree in the front yard, and that thing is massive. It's not kidding. I put my arms out, and it is as wide as my arms are, so 6 feet wide. And
that is so fun.
Yeah. So, fun fact though, we will not tap it for syrup because we don't want to go drilling holes in a 200-year-old tree because that's the namesake of the farm. So
right.
we buy the syrup locally.
Okay. Well, I'm going to get started making my cocktail. Aaron already has his made, but this is Dustin's favorite, Woodford Reserve. So when you said that, I was like, I got that.
Yep. That's my go-to.
2 ounces of bourbon.
Yeah.
I got to measure this out. I'm horrible at measurements, but I do my best.
Err on the side of more.
What?
Err on the side of more.
Yeah. And then we have our organic maple syrup from, I think it's Sam's Club or Costco. And we're going to put in a teaspoon, which I've never had a drink with maple syrup. This is so exciting.
So a typical old fashioned, you'll use some simple syrup or you'll use sugar and you'll muddle it with some of the bitters. But in this one, that's no bueno. So we use syrup.
Yeah, I love it. I love the fun take. And then we've got the cherry bitters, and we're going to do 5 dashes.
Yep.
And I've never had cherry bitters either. So this is like awesome day for me.
Awesome.
Try new things. And then we stir it in the lowball glass until it's fully mixed.
Yep.
And then I'm going to add some ice and swirl a little bit more. Okay, give me a second.
Now, if your listeners have one of those big either circle ice cubes or one of those square ones, those are ideal. Otherwise, a couple of big ice, bigger ice cubes, if you use the tray or whatever, that will be fine.
Yeah, and I didn't get the memo till this morning, so I didn't make my ice spheres or what we call ice balls, unfortunately, but I've got the ice. And then I'm going to keep swirling a little bit more.
Yep.
Totally using my teaspoon. And then I've got my orange.
Yep.
And we're going to take some of the peel
off. Yep.
Whoops. I'm such a novice, but it's super fun. Just got to try new things. Okay. Yep. So here's my little peel.
And yep. Express that.
Oh, you want me to
outside.
Twist it first?
Yeah. Twist it and spray some of the oils inside the drink. Yep. Yep. And then take the outside of the orange peel and rub it along the glass. Yep.
The other side. The outside.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's where all the oils are. Yep.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There you go.
You're educated.
Now toss that sucker. Toss that sucker right in there.
All right.
Yep.
Ready to cheers?
Cheers.
Cheers.
I got my back 40 glass. There we go. Cheers.
Oh, that's good.
Is it nice and smooth?
Mm-hmm. That might be.
Yeah.
So we drink a lot of old fashions at my house. And actually my favorite is a tequila old fashioned. However, this might be, this is really good. I think the maple syrup, like, just,
yeah,
there's something about it.
Well, it's that, it, you know, it's got a little bit of that burnt flavor to it because they cook that maple syrup for so long, and it just has got a little bit more of a bodied, full body flavor. And I think it complements the bourbon really good.
Yeah.
From sitting in those casks. So yeah, for sure.
I love it. So Aaron, we went to high school together and we graduated. Now everyone's going to know how old we are, in 1995. And we just recently reconnected, like maybe what? 2018?
Yeah, 2 years ago. Yeah, for sure. Yep.
Well, how did we reconnect?
So when I, if you remember, I was starting Coalition 9, and Coalition 9 at its first inception was a revenue leadership accelerator. And it was nine workshops. And one of the workshops was talent strategy. And I just saw the things that you've been doing and starting Talent Queue, and like, I don't know, I know a few people that do talent acquisition, but I'm like, oh, what the hell, I'll just give Renee a call. So I called, I think I basically just cold called you. I called you out of the blue. Is like, hey, you want to do this?
That's
I don't even know if you're going to be any good at it, but we're going to figure it out.
Now you tell me the truth.
Right. So yeah, and you killed it. So that was one of our most popular workshops. So it all worked out, and then now we become business buddies. So crazy.
No,
you're literally the only person I talked to from high school,
which blows my mind. So tell me, like, so you reached out, and were you worried like I was gonna tell you to fly a kite or anything?
No, I think, you know, you own your own business and you get it. It's all about relationships and meeting new people. And I thought this was, I didn't think that this was a selfish ask. I thought this was a great way for you to meet some new people and get some exposure to some people that you've never maybe met before. And it aligned well with your business values and your strategy. So I thought, how could you say no?
Right.
It's a no-brainer. It's 3 hours. Who cares?
I love it. So Aaron, give us your elevator pitch. Who are you?
I am a sales and marketing strategist. I also do quite a bit of coaching on the sales and sales leadership side. And then that's my company, Back 40. So I started Back 40 about 3 years ago. I had been a part of a business with a partner, and we grew it 270% over 5 years, blew it up, did an amazing job. Had a killer team, and it just got to a point where it grew beyond my capabilities as a visionary. And so I wanted to get out and do something else. So I started Back 40. Back 40 is, if any of your listeners know, Back 40 of a farm is uncultivated, undeveloped land. And so I help businesses with uncultivated, undeveloped areas of opportunity. And then I wanted to do something for the rest of my life at 40. And so this was 3 years ago, I'm 43. So what was I going to do for the back 40 of my life? And so it's doing that. And then I started Coalition 9, and that's where you came in. And that's a revenue accelerator. And it's also a peer group community that we're building. And we're going to have a big launch here this September.
That's incredible. Yeah. Oh my God. Look at all the, how you tied it all together. Back 40, you're 40. Like, you put a lot of thought into that.
Well, it's a couple of those old fashions, and I'm good at two. I'm not super creative at one, and I'm terribly not creative at three, but at two of those, I can come up with a lot of good business ideas.
That's awesome. So tell me, what can we celebrate, help you celebrate this week?
Boy, that's a great question. You know, there's a lot of great things going on this week. I think we have the fact that So Coalition 9 is, I'm working hard and fast on. I have a team of facilitators. We're putting some things together from a marketing standpoint. And so we are going to start to launch that here in September, October, getting ready for the end of the year. So things have been pretty heads down on that. And then business, you know, we're in the middle of COVID. It's weird. We're having to do this via video, but I'm embracing everything. All my clients for Back 40 have transitioned to video, and And it's amazing how we've been able to maintain those relationships. So I'm going to celebrate that as well.
Well, cheers to that.
Cheers to that. I'll take that.
And I want to tell you what I'm celebrating this week. So we just launched our, with COVID, we've had to make some shifts in business as well. And I always wanted to do e-learning courses for people to like DIY your own resume, because I write people's resumes, but some people don't want to pay what I charge. And so I thought I can just do it all on video for them and they can go through the course themselves. We launched that several weeks ago, but last week we launched the interview prep course. So we're super happy to celebrate that.
Awesome. So, awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's fantastic.
Aaron, yeah. We're going on the party bus. Who are you going to bring? You have to be alive.
Yeah, so I've been asked this question in the past, and I'm going to give you my, so I'm not a fanboy of anybody in particular. I don't, you know, I don't know if I'd want to bring anybody on there that's famous. So,
oh, not my Snoop Dogg?
No, Snoop Dogg or Dre. I'm a huge Pearl Jam fan, so if it's going to be anybody famous, maybe Eddie Vedder. But frankly, I would just be a bunch of friends and family, business friends and personal friends, and then family, and then I would ask them to bring a friend.
Okay,
and so
I like that.
I love meeting new people. I love developing relationships and generally just being a good dude. And so. I think it'd be fun to just have a whole bunch of people on a bus, and I don't know, is there alcohol involved? If there's alcohol involved, then it'll be even more fun.
Yeah. Awesome. I love it. And if you could have one superpower, what would it be?
I would say my superpower is common sense. I think in the terms of like not flying or whatever, but I think a lot of people don't have common sense. And, you know, I've gotten through life pretty damn good being able to make logical decisions. And I think I do a good job of kind of seeing, you know, Stephen Covey, begin with the end in mind. I like to see where I'm going to go and then the journey of how I'm going to get there. So, yeah, I'd say common sense. That's as good of a superpower as I'm going to pull out.
The funny thing is I've questioned my whole life why we call it common sense, because it's not common.
It is. I don't think common sense prevails. I think a lot of people rest on their laurels and try and educate themselves a little bit too much, to where I think if they thought through things just using the brain power that they were given, they'd do some pretty amazing things.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so you've been wildly successful, and I want to call out the elephant in the room, because I know you don't have a college degree. And when I used to recruit for Target and Amazon, that's like the ticket to entry. If you don't have that, Target and Amazon wouldn't let you in, Aaron. So how have you done this and made it become wildly successful without a four-year degree?
Attitude and effort. Positive attitude and just outwork everybody else. And then tons of common sense, right? So I was when I was 29 years old, I did a bunch of random jobs after dropping out of college, and then mostly in the printing industry and other industries. And then I got into selling one of the most commoditized things on the face of the earth, which is office products. And then I did really well there, transitioned into selling office furniture, office interiors. And then at 29, became a vice president of a local company called S&T Office Products. And I remember walking into my mentor / the president's office, and he's like, okay, we need to spend the next couple hours going over the P&L. And I said, I got a question for you. What is a P&L? And he's like, oh shit, I don't even know what to say. Like, he's like, look, we better make this 5 hours. And so we figured it out, and I did know what it was, but I didn't know that that was what it was called. And so I'll tell you, that's just me being able to kick in my common sense into high gear. And my personal mission is a lifelong learner, lifelong teacher. And so I want to be able to take all the things that I learn and absorb them, but then also be able to regurgitate them and make them palatable for the people that I work with. So, yeah.
Okay. So 29 years old, how most people probably wouldn't admit they didn't know what a P&L was and just Like, how were you comfortable at that young age to say, hey, I don't know what that is?
That's totally my personality. I think they've gotten to know me too well enough. One of my core values is transparency. So integrity, transparency, and curiosity. And so I just say it how it is. And if someone doesn't like it, then too bad. They put me in that position knowing that I was able to be successful and I had transitioned into the mindset of a leader. And so I just needed to learn the blocking and tackling of what it took to be in that role.
So, you know, when a lot of times top performers aren't always the best leaders, but you specifically mentioned something that you transitioned to leadership mindset. Yeah. Well, what was your epiphany to get there?
I've never really been so most salespeople are very money driven. I've never been a very money driven person. I always just feel like success is, if you're successful, money will follow. And so I got more out of coaching and working with team members and building the team around me up and really truly being a servant leader of transitioning the mindset of not being the guy anymore to being the support function. And a really good leader needs to be able to check their ego at the door and just be there for their team. And, you know, I just think a switch flipped where I did some really great things in sales early on in my 20s. And I just didn't want to, I wanted to get into business ownership. And I felt like, all right, if I'm going to do this, I need to do it right. And I need to do it really thoughtfully. And there should be a process. And so I wanted to follow that process.
Got it. And then I'm sure you had people that you were managing that were younger than you.
And older. Like younger is easy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good. Well, we're on the same page then, because that can turn into a complete train wreck sometimes. And if you're not thoughtful and you don't communicate, and I think what it comes down to is mutual respect. And so I respected the years of service those people put in, the experience that they had. I tapped into that experience. If I needed it, I would also be able to expose some of that and make sure and put them on a pedestal. And I was transparent with the fact that I didn't know everything. And I think it really is just, again, just getting back to where you can build a relationship and have a mutual respect. And it worked out pretty damn good.
I love it. Yeah. So how did you find your calling? You know yourself, it sounds, really well, Aaron, because you talked about you are a lifelong learner, lifelong teacher. You know your core values, transparency, curiosity. And I know you mentioned another one, like, you know yourself.
Yeah. So that was that point of there was kind of an inflection point at right around 40 where I felt like my resources, personal resources, were tapped out and the business we were building, and it had outgrown me, and someone needed to come in to, I'm the guy that builds the machine. I'm not the guy that runs the machine. Right. And so I got to a point where this machine needed to be run and tweaked, and I didn't need to do that anymore. So I spent a good probably 6 months on like this mental journey of trying to figure out what I wanted to do. It was all of 6 months. It was multiple writing down thoughts. I started my meditation practice in that time. I spent a lot of mental energy to really trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And at the end of the day, I love being able to wake up every day, working for myself, and then being able to kind of build my trajectory of where I want to go. And I love being able to walk away from an engagement with a client or a coaching meeting or something like that, and someone saying like, man, this was one of the best meetings I've had all week, or this is one of the best meetings I've had ever. That to me just totally fills my cup, and I can go to bed at night knowing that I made a little bit of a difference in that person's world.
Cheers to that.
Cheers to that. Yeah.
I had that experience last week. Someone said, so I do 15-minute consults for job seekers and clients who are looking to hire people. And one gentleman said, Renee, this is the most valuable 15 minutes I've had in weeks. The most valuable conversation I've had in weeks. And I was like, I was just so excited. Yeah. Like, that fills my cup too. So we're on the total same page.
Right. And, you know, and then the money will follow then. If you're happy and you're successful doing that, then I'm the type of person where I can live a pretty minimal lifestyle. And so if I'm able to then just do the things that I want to do and make people's lives better, I just know that there will be success. So it feels good.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. How do you help our listeners? So I coach a lot of people that are stuck in their careers, totally don't know where they want to go next. And I walk them through that. However, what tips do you have that can help people get a little bit more clarity?
So I think there's a couple of major things that I do with every client. So one is I spent a lot of time working on what the journey is going to be for a coaching client. So if I'm going, or even on the strategic planning side of things too, I really want to get the client comfortable with what their journey is going to be. So on the coaching side is where I'll focus on here is I map out what their continued education is. So I have a series of books that I ask them to read because I believe I gleaned so much of my personal knowledge out of some of these books. So I prep them for the books that they need to read. And then I have a journey of the things that they need to focus on from the toolkit that I've built. But the true primary things within the toolkit are reflection and then accountability. And so reflection is always being able to look back on the day, the week, the month, and be able to document that and be really proud of some of the things that you did. And then also know that you kind of tripped up a little bit along the way and where do you need to work on some things, and just be really honest with yourself, but then also have me there to catch you a little bit when you fall and then to help that learning expedite itself a little faster. And then the accountability is, frankly, if they're going to pay me to come in as a coach, it's going to make it a little easier on them to hold themselves accountable. But if I'm not there, the accountability isn't there. And so I have a way, it's like a respectful aggressiveness, I guess, to make sure that people are holding themselves accountable because they're the creators of their own destiny. And I want to be able to see them maximize themselves at the very best.
Right. So yeah. Can you share with us your top book, your top two books that you would recommend to people?
Yeah. Yeah. So the first book that I have every client read is called Make a Difference, and Make a Difference by Dr. Larry Little. It's a human psychology book based on the four different personality profiles. So if people have done DISC or HBDI or Miller-Hyman or something like that, it's usually based around the four quadrants. What this is that it's super easy, it's playful, it's fun, it's based on animals. So lion, camel, monkey, turtle. It helps in a couple of different things. One is it just helps communication in general, just with everybody that you interact with in your life. But then two is it in sales or in marketing, communication is key. Mm-hmm. And so that's what's gonna help build the relationship with, and then is gonna transition into trust. And so being able to acknowledge what the person you're having the communication with and have to be able to frame that conversation so that they can absorb it and understand it so that you're not just speaking your crazy lion monkey. Like I'm a lion monkey. So I talk loud. I am a complete goofball and I'm big picture thinker and those things. But sometimes if you talk to a camel, you need to be very process oriented and you need to have a task list and you need to give them a day's notice in advance of what you're talking about, those types of things. That's my first book. The second book is a book called Let's Get Real or Let's Not Play.
I've never heard of either one of these. I'm going to read them both. Sorry.
That's
good. Tell me the title again.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah. Let's Get Real or Let's Not Play. That's awesome. It's I hate sales books and it's the best sales book that's out there.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, for sure. It's all about active listening.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Yeah. I'm going to check these out because I'm a huge growth mindset book reading junkie.
Yeah. And then there's a whole series of other books that I'll pull out based on, you know, it's basically that book, Make a Difference, Let's Get Real, Let's Not Play, and then Never Split the Difference are the three books. And then I base a lot of my coaching on those three books. And then I've got a whole series of different books, podcasts, articles, things like that, that I basically tailor based on the individual. I don't want them to have to go through any prescribed process beyond those first three books. But those three are like the barrier to entry of working together. Yeah.
So let's talk about reflection and accountability. You make your clients reflect and stay accountable. What I found when I've coached people with, when I do career coaching, is a lot of times they don't get truly vulnerable with me until midway. Mm-hmm. And I mean, 9 out of 10 of my coaching clients, they get so emotional, there's tears. How do you make them get vulnerable with you fast? Because that's where the magic happens. You know what I'm saying? Then you can figure out what roadblocks they need to remove to have even more massive action moving forward, right?
Yeah, so I think it's, you need to be a little vulnerable too, and you need to be transparent, and you need to just put yourself out there a little bit. And then two, I just don't think you force it. So I've had clients that I've started in the first 30 days, we're there, and it's, we've hit it off and we're feeling really good, but you can only control what you can control. And so I've had clients that it's taken 90 days because, you know, whatever guard is up or whatever, maybe previous experiences with coaches, executive partners, family, friends, who knows? There's so many deep-seated things that could happen in that to where I'm open to whatever that journey is going to hold.
Okay, got it. And yeah. What's the most common denominator you see in people that you coach? Like, is there some couple themes that every single person has?
Yeah. I think, one is everyone has a sales process, but they don't really have it nailed down to where, how they engage with their clients. And I really like to get people comfortable with that and to turn it into unconscious competence and just really make sure that they are able to just think about it like a fighter pilot, right? Like it just works in their brain. And then get rid of the stigma of sales. So everybody sells. Everybody does.
No matter what job you're in.
Yeah. Or even in life, right? Like you're trying to sell on like what you want to have for dinner that night. And it's sales. And so I try and take away I actually really don't talk about sales. I just talk about revenue, or I talk about relationship building, or I talk about solutions or serving. I try not to talk about sales. So I take away the stigma of that and try and make people feel comfortable with it.
I love that. Why do we have this? Why as human beings do we have this belief that sales is icky or something? Like, I don't, because I love it and I've been doing it forever and I get the concepts. But you know what I mean? Like, why do we fundamentally have, is it the used car salesman bias that we all have? Or
I think there's a lot of really great salespeople out there, but then I think that there are some people that are maybe should reevaluate their career choice because they've been put, you know, they're the square peg being trying to shove through a round hole. And then you've got the media and movies, you know, movies sometimes can give you a little preconceived notion on all that stuff. And yeah, I think it's just built up over time.
Right. Aaron, you are so charismatic and high energy. How do you stay energized?
I don't know. That's a great question. It is what it is. I wake up in the morning and I feel I'm a morning guy, so I can get going right away. This is probably, later in the afternoon, I start to wind down a little bit, but I have just a natural drive. I wake up in the morning pretty driven, and I think that's one of those things where energy, or, you know, you're a super energetic person and you have a great personality. And, you know, that's probably a big reason why we hit it off right away when we reconnected after 20 some years, whatever, is that people surround themselves with like people. And, you know, it's kind of an intangible. You just can't define how you drive that energy. Right.
But do you have any routines? Like, do you work out in the morning? Are you brainstorming at 5 a.m.?
Yeah. So, I started that meditation practice. So that's 10 minutes a day. I don't try and pull out anymore. Someday, and I don't hold myself accountable to like trying to do 10 minutes. If it turns out to where I'm sitting there and 3 minutes have gone by and I feel good about it, then I'm done. Sometimes 15 minutes will go by. It's all good. And then, I try and get a run in every day. I started running at the start of COVID to try and keep so I don't turn into some big Jabba the Hutt sitting in my home office. And so that's worked out pretty good. And then I really focus on balance. So I do a lot of my client work in the morning, And then I block off the afternoon. And I typically, especially in the summer here, I'll go outside and I'll do something on the farm from like 2 to 5. And then we'll have dinner and stuff. And then I work at night. And it works for me. I just figured out what my balance is.
I love that. Don't you love that you can be in control of your own schedule?
Oh, it's the greatest. Yeah. And I think more people are figuring out now that they're, you know, relegated to home, or even if they work for somebody, that's great. It's figure out what works for you. And I'm hoping more employers and more leaders are embracing that, right? Is being able to just, there's a really great book called When by Dan Pink. And it's all about, when are you your most creative? When are you most productive? When are you your most whatever? And I think more people should tap into where they're the most, where they feel the most productive.
I totally agree. We would skyrocket with productivity if the corporate could, you know, get out of the box a little bit more and think more creatively. I think you would have way more productivity, because the time it takes you to do something in 8 to 5 and the time it takes me to do something 8 to 5 is totally different. I will never forget working at Target. There's another recruiter, and I was leaving for the day, and she's like, gosh, I wish I could work as fast as you, Renee. She's like, you're just more efficient. I'm like, well, I'm happy to share what my processes are. And, you know, but it's like just that recognition of knowing this is my job. This is what I need to get done. And that's how we are here. Like, I don't clock watch people. If you can get your job done in 20 hours, teach me how to do it and I'll do the same. I mean, get out of here. Let's live our lives. That's what we're here to do, right?
Absolutely. 100% agree.
So how has since I'm a huge meditation junkie, I started meditating, I think, a couple years ago, and I do 10 minutes a day. It has totally changed my life. Like, my family members say, what has changed? You are so different. How has it changed your life, Aaron?
It takes all my crazy monkey brain stuff that's going on in my head and it kind of compartmentalizes it. I feel like I'm just a little clearer in my thought process. I feel like it it invigorates me, but yet it calms me. And so it's hard to explain. I think you probably can agree with that. It is a really hard way to explain like what it does, but I think it just takes things and puts them in the right buckets.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes I'll do it. A lot of times I'll do it when I'm running. I'll do it in the morning. Sometimes I really tried to break down the barriers of what it's supposed to be, because I think if you listen to anyone that, you know, speaks on this, I think you just need to make it what you want it to be. And if you get out of it what you want, then great.
Exactly. I love it.
Yeah.
Aaron, where do you get inspiration from? Any podcasts, or you mentioned a ton of books.
I would be a complete goofball if I didn't have Audible. So I get a lot. I do read a lot through Audible. So I listen to books. I just do not consume information well if I'm reading books physically. Podcasts. There's a lot of different, there's a great podcast called Ologies. It's so great. It's just, she talks about all these different types of, and I'm not talking about this is where I get inspiration from, but it's my new podcast that I'm kind of hooked on, is that, it's all different ologies. So like there's one on mushrooms, there's one on butterflies, there's one on trees, there's one on birds, and it just lets your mind wander of like all these crazy things and what's on this earth and how we are so lucky to have all this stuff surrounded by us.
Oh, I love it.
I guess if I'm going to get inspiration from anything though, it's going to be just people, right? Like I just see the amazing work that people do. In ways you inspire me, in ways I have clients that inspire me. My wife inspires me. She owns her own business and is right over on that side of the wall. there's so many different things that happen in my daily life that inspire me that it's kind of hard to deny that.
I love it. I love your positivity. Yeah. I love all the value bombs. Where can our listeners find you, Aaron?
So back40mn.com, coalition9.com. I'm on LinkedIn. So Aaron Eggert on LinkedIn. I'm from my website. You can find my Instagram, and I don't post as much as I should, but I will. Twitter, all that stuff is all on my website. So yeah.
Cool. I appreciate you, and I'm so grateful you took the time to be on my show today. Cheers.
Cheers, my friend. Take care.
Yeah, you too. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are thrilled to have made a worldwide impact with listeners in 9 different countries. If you've enjoyed this conversation, please be sure to subscribe to Careers and Cocktails on YouTube and drop us a review on your favorite podcast app. If you're looking to update your resume or you're stuck in your career, I'm designated by LinkedIn as the top resume writer and career coach expert. I even created a resume and e-learning course to help you if you want to do your own resume. It's super simple and extremely affordable. Go to careersandcocktails.com to learn more. I also wrote a book called I Hate Mondays for all of you job seekers who hate your jobs and want to love your Mondays. You can go there for the same information. And of course, I am up to so much valuable information sharing that for you hiring leaders, if you want to find the secrets to finding the best talent, I have a hiring guide at careersandcocktails.com as well. I am here to share information and help people love what they do. Until next time, cheers.